We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now stay with the fan for this special program.
Hey, baseball fans, the game is over.
Welcome to the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show.
After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 17 years. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen's here. What do you got, Tim?
We'll hear the highlights.
And that one's hit high and deep to right. Suzuki back. Grown man home run by Rowdy Tellez. And the Brewers have the lead.
We'll hear from the manager and the players. We'll discuss the topics from the fans to the front office.
I like Tim's perspective.
History is made each and every year. And we're talking about it. 17 years of coverage after each game. Here's your host, Tim Allen.
It is a final, and the results are not good as the Brewers fall in Game 3 of this four-game set, 5-4 final. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Gene Wagner Plumbing Postgame Show. Tim Allen, there's Sam Schmitz doing some double, triple, quadruple duty here, working at night. Sam, thanks for being here, and we're live in the Lakeland University studios, the leader in online education. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. And as went the first two of these series between the Cardinals and the Brewers, well, you have a Brewers win in Game 1, losses in Game 2 and 3, and then are the Brewers going to bounce back off the mat and win Game 4? That will be the same pattern. If the Brewers win tomorrow, all three of these four-game sets will go the same way. Brewers winning games 1 and 4 of each of these four-game sets. That's kind of a weird little deal here. But Brewers gave it a go at the end there, get a couple of base runners with two outs. No hits. They didn't hit their way on. Caratini with a walk, Taylor hit by pitch, and it came down to Christian Yelich. And who, raise your hand if you thought that was going to be a barreled up RBI double. Just a scorcher, a rocket. I don't see many hands waving in the air here.
Mm-mm.
Why is that, Sam? Why? What happened? Where is it? I mean, he had a, I don't know if you can call a fifth inning double. Some say it might have been a gift double, too.
Yep.
To tie the game. Is that a clutch? Is that NBA clutch time?
Oh, absolutely not. That was a given. That was a little gimme.
He got it done. He had a multi-hit game tonight, so I'm not going to get too much on Christian Yelich. But the offense as a whole, I think they're a little too picky. I do think that they need to attack the other guys a little more often. We just don't see that. We just don't see on the attack. 2-3 pitches in, 3-4-5 batters deep. Everybody, let's go. We're attacking here. I mean, you saw in the late stages of this game, a lot of strikes on the first sequence of the pitch of the at bat. It's strike one. You're immediately in the hole. Now you're digging. Now you're just going. You're going digging. You're digging for gold at that point. Willy Adames takes strike one. Keston Hira takes strike one. Attack these guys. You see it from the other side. Okay, I want to get your reaction on this ball game and whether or not David Stearns is going to strike first and make the move to get some offense in here. I don't think it's the pitching, guys. The pitching's going to get nothing but healthier and better. They are. Now, I do have one little issue with the pitching as of late, last few weeks. What is going on in the first inning? Whether it's on the road or at home, what is going on in the first inning? Every game, I say the same thing as I prepare to do a radio show with this baseball team. Can you have a quick and easy first inning, please? Even Burns start the other day threw, what, 15, 18 pitches in the first inning? Can we get a 1-2-3 nine-pitch inning? Just get going in the game a little bit early. It didn't happen today, obviously. They're down 2-0 before they even came up to bat. 414-799-1250. There is room for an offensive weapon here. I'm not telling you that one guy is going to make a difference. I'm not predicting that. I'm not saying that. But it could. It could light the fire under these guys. It could change the chemistry in a good way for this Brewers offense. And how much do you despise the Cardinals for just being the Cardinals? Just the mere fact that they're the Cardinals, and you can't stand losing these games. I would assume Craig Counsell is going to talk, and we'll have that for you. But I'm going to assume that Craig Counsell is going to say, this is a good baseball game. This is a good baseball. I've noticed he's been saying that lately. You do have to play better baseball. Now, I'll give him that. Because once you start playing good baseball, the wins will come. But this is sort of that, well, that was a good baseball game. Yeah. 799-1250. I'm more displeased with giving the opponent an early lead than I am maybe of anything else to do with this baseball team. My girlfriend at home says I'm driving her crazy with the first inning. I almost swore. With the first inning stuff. Enough of the first inning. No. I'm saying no. I'm not telling you that they're not prepared to play, because that's the easy answer. A lot of people would say that. But what are you doing to get these guys ready to go? But it just seems that, man, they're behind the eight ball every time they get through the first. It's the second inning, and they're down 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. Just all the time. And if they're not, then you get a game like Hauser where he threw 37 pitches in the first inning. And then his boss says he pitched pretty well that inning. I still won't let that go either. All right, let's get to you guys. 799-1250. First of all, will David Stearns make the move? But the second thought would be, when will David Stearns make the move? They're okay right now. It's not panic time. It's not. They're 39-32. They win that ball game tomorrow, and you have first place tie, and off they go. Again, 2-2 against the Cardinals. 3-4-game series. 2-2, 2-2, 2-2. If you win tomorrow here in the 22 championship season. Austin, you're first up here on the Fan. What's going on, Austin? Your thoughts?
Hey, I thought he pitched great in that first inning tonight. Who pitched great?
Yeah, really.
I don't know what it is about the starts with the Brewers and why they're sluggish. Can't comment on that. I have no idea why you're not amped up and ready to go, why the adrenaline's not flowing. Mm-hmm. And I got the same thing to say about the fans. In about the third inning, I just saw the top four rows, just people with their hands on their face, just in the same, you just know that you're going to get beat feeling. And I think that the Brewers have that same feeling. They don't have an answer. They don't know what's going to happen. And I don't have an answer for them. I don't get it.
Well, do you think David Stearns is going to make a move, make a trade?
Okay, well, I am not as well-versed in all the free agents as probably you are. I would hope that maybe you could – I wouldn't dish out Ashby, but maybe you could send – I mean, we're really good with developing pitchers, so I think that your best shot at getting a bat would be sending over minor league pitchers to a team, but I don't really know who the free agents are.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. In terms of free agency, I don't know if I'd go there. There's not a lot of street guys worth. There's Lorenzo Cain out there. I mean, you could go ahead.
Yeah.
Too soon.
No, he'll come back. They'll bring him back if they
Well, you know, on that note, Austin, Sam, I will just say to this, if you're not going to play Jonathan Davis, I mean, why didn't you just keep Lorenzo Cain then? I mean,
yeah,
if he's got one game in.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, what was the deal with that? They brought him up, and then he hit, what, 2-for-4 in that?
Hasn't played since.
Like, bye-bye.
Yep, hasn't played since. All right, so you say they're going to make a move? Is that what you're saying? Stearns is going to make a move?
Well, I think that Stearns is going to make a move because he's proven that over the last couple of years because he he doesn't believe in his talent that he's developed.
Well, I don't know about that, but okay, so the next thing would be when. When do you think he'll do this? Wait till all the way to the end of the, right up to the deadline? The deadline is August 2nd these days.
Okay, no, I'd hope not. I would say that you got to do something in mid-July, right?
Okay, by mid-July.
Somebody
all right.
Time to, like, when I don't remember when they got Willie Adames last year, but the spark that he brought to the clubhouse and how they got on a roll, I don't know. Maybe you can do something like that, but you got to do it before.
I think preemptive strike, David Stearns. Thanks for the call, Austin. I think that's where he should go, but, you know, sometimes the deals just aren't there. And other teams want to wait and wait it out. And maybe they think, you know, they have some players in mind, and they want to wait it out because the bargaining chips, they're stacked up a little higher. I mean, you have to remember that this isn't a team that's floundering at all. Would you say they're floundering? No, they're not. They're a decent team. They are. They need to get healthy, and they need to start. Well, they need to start hitting. I mean, we're right back there. We're right back there where we were early on in the season, and then they went through a stretch, a pretty decent stretch, where they were doing okay offensively. You guys watch these games. It's Cardinals-Brewers. I mean, a lot of you have just chosen this series to take a look at. You tell me who's just a better offense, number one, but number two, the approaches that they take. You tell me what you're seeing between these two teams. Another question would be, who do you think's the better team? Let's not sleep on that bullpen for the Cardinals. Here's a reason why I get a little upset with being down a run, two or three, early in a game. It neutralizes what the Brewers can do with their bullpen. Because Craig Counsell manages a different way when he's trailing by two or three or even a run, like tonight. You didn't see Williams, Hader, or Box. You didn't see these guys. He was only down one. What I'd have done, I mean, what a lot of fans would have done, is you go with your guys and gamble that your offense was going to put up a run or two and win this game in the seventh, eighth, or ninth. That's what I'd have done. It turned out Counsell was the Swami here. He made the right move. He saved Box, Williams, Hader for tomorrow and the next day, and it didn't hurt him at all. Milner, Trevor Kelly got the job done. That's why he's paid what he's paid. The other reason why you don't want to fall behind is because most all of these teams have pretty decent bullpen arms. We're splitting hairs with bullpens. There's always, I think every team you could look around and at least find two or three in a seven or eight man bullpen that are really good and tough to score runs on. Yet you're down two zip and you haven't even come up to the plate yet. It's driving me crazy. It's probably my biggest pet peeve as we speak. 414-799-1250 as the Brewers fall. What do you want to do, Sam?
Let's go to Lou. Lou, you're on the post-game show.
Lou, what do you say? 5-4, Brewers lose game three. They win tomorrow. They can even up the series, kiss their sister, and off we go.
I know, mate. It's actually Kiwi Will from Kenosha. But Will,
how you doing? How you doing, Will? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Oh, well, it's tough watching the games down there when you don't have the old belly and all the rest of it. But I come back from the old wrestling show, and I catch into the Brewer game, and shocker, Council can't manage anymore. Same old, same old. Everyone blames the bats, but it's always a lineup shifting, changing. No one knows who's starting, where the lineup's going. It's just frustrating. Everyone wants to blame the hitting, and yet the hitting's been an issue for like 3 years. And we're all, we develop pitches, but do we develop pitches or do we get lucky? I don't know. We give a lot of credit to people.
I think it's probably a little of both. I think it would be a little of both. I think a lot of teams, you know, if you're going to tell me that you knew Freddy Peralta at 18 years old was going to be Freddy Peralta, okay, I'll give you that one. But then you also knew that, you know, Adrian Hauser and Josh Hader were going to be what they are in that trade. So, I mean, there's a little luck involved for sure.
A little luck, but also you've got soft in your old age, mate, being nice to Council, letting them manage this poorly. And now we know he can't do his double shifts and all the fancy stuff that he used to do. I think he's lost his mojo. If I was going to make a move, it'd be moving him.
Council?
We need to change the direction, yeah. I don't care how many games you've won in the past. Congratulations, well done. Here's your medal. Here's your mirror. Go home. Let's get somebody in there that's got a new vision, and maybe that could light a spark under these guys, because either we change him or we have to invest in two corner infielders and an outfielder, and we don't have that kind of revenue. So it's change the vision of the team or spend a boatload of money, which we don't have. Pick your poison.
Yeah, and I think at some point you're probably right. At some point. I don't say that point is right now. I don't. I think some subtle moves here. And I say subtle, that can be debated. But, Will, great talking to you again, man. Thanks for the call. But you're dead on with the corner infield. Now, they think they've got one in Luis Urias. However, is he the takeover at second base once Colton Wong clears here? So that leaves third base wide open again. Allegedly in baseball, that's supposed to be a thumper position. He's going to make a move here. David Stearns is going to make a move. The track record is there. He's done it before. I still say he's going to pick up an arm in that bullpen. But it's games like this that really just drive me crazy. I'm not blaming Eric Lauer. Sometimes you give credit to the other guys. You do. Cardinals they've been always. If they didn't have jersey numbers and names, you would think the Cardinals are the same team they were 8 years ago, 11 years ago. It's like the same type of player. Same type of player, contact guys, high energy guys, baseball rats, smart baseball individuals. I just hate that. I just do. Rick, 414-799-1250, you're next on the Fan. I'm sorry, Mike. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Tim. Well, I wasn't expecting to get on quick. Sorry, I had it on speakerphone while I was waiting. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. There was just silence. I didn't know if I hung up on you.
Yep, you're good.
So I got to vent, Tim, because... So I'm as casual a Brewer fan as there is. You know, I listen to games every chance I get because of Bob Uecker especially. But so leaving to go to my lady caller's house tonight, turn the game on in the first inning, bam, two-run homer against, you know, Eric Lauer. I don't know much about him, but I didn't think he, you know, like you were saying, it's going to happen. But it just happens too often with this team. You get down 1-0, 2-0. Like you've been saying, very frustrating. And I'm thinking to myself, before the home run was hit, I said to myself, they're going up against Wainwright. we got Lauer. Nothing against Lauer, but I just knew. If I said in myself, I said it out loud. The Brewers are going to get anywhere from 2 to 5 hits. They ended up with 4 hits. I said if they don't get more than 5 hits, they lose this game. Then I listened long enough to hear Tellez belt one out, and I had some hope. But then, literally, as the game was ending, I'm leaving my lady caller's house, and it's the last at bat. And was I surprised to hear they went down 5-4? Absolutely not. And when I got in my car, I was like, you know, I am as casual as they come, like I said, as far as a Brewers fan. But I know this team and this organization, and it's just always – and it's always against St. Louis or the Cubs, depending on the year the Cubs are having. And I just – this is why I can't – you know, I'm going to take my son to a ball game this year because he's home from college his first year. And I'm going to go and I'm going to enjoy it because I haven't done it in a couple of years. But it's just the same old thing with this Brewers team. You know, the hitting isn't there. You got the pitching. The pitching is there. Now you don't have the hitting. And it's so frustrating. And I know that there are 29 other teams out there, whatever. Is it 31 or 29? I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah, 29, just, you're right.
Yeah. It's so frustrating because I want to be, you know, I am a bandwagon guy. When they win a World Series, I'll be all in and all on board, and I don't care what people think of me. I just can't support by buying, especially merchandise, you know, for a team that just can't get over the hump. And that just – it just is so weird. And I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to Bob Uecker. That's what keeps me going right now because we've been close, you know, 18 – they had a really legit shot, man, and they just couldn't seal the deal once again, man.
And with some moves right now, with some moves, I will tell you this, I still have a ton of hope for this team, and I want you to keep the hope. I also want to just give you my theory, my philosophy on spending money on this team. Yeah. This is just my thought, and you can handle your spending the way you want. Okay. I don't look at it as I'm giving my money to a rich owner. I'm giving my money to players that don't appreciate it. Are overpaid for playing a game of baseball. I'm okay. Giving all this money, and they charge so much. And how much is it a beer? Okay. Mm-hmm. I look at it as a little more selfish. What do I get out of the money I pay? And I get to see my favorite team. I get to grab my favorite hat, or you know, I'm a Brewer. You're always going to be a Brewer fan. You can't shut that stuff off. You can't just shun a team away. So look at it. This is the way I do it. I look at it more selfishly as to what do I get out of it. I get a great night. You get a great night with your kid. Again, I'm just going to tell you that there are a lot of people in this country that would love a Major League Baseball team right up the street, which is essentially what we have here.
I can't argue that point, but I was, and if you give me just one more second, I was telling this to my son because we drove by Miller Park when we went. I took him down to the lake the other day. On our way back, we passed Miller Park, and I told him because I heard the other day. You correct me if I'm wrong, but they're already talking about wanting a new park for this ball club. Is that not correct?
I mean, it's not going to last forever, but it's going to be 30 years old soon. I mean,
it
wow.
is. And, yeah. And, but here's what I was telling my son. I said, and I said much what you said. There are so many cities that would love to have a Major League ball club. And I told him, if it comes to that, if we haven't won a World Series by the time it comes to build a new ballpark, this team is bye-bye for sure. People aren't going to put up with it anymore. And if it's 10 years from now,
I don't know what I'll do.
Me either. I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying it's trending in that direction. It's been a long time, man. We've been to one World Series in over 50 years. So, sorry, Tim, I don't mean to end on a bad note.
No. You're all right. Mike, call back and we'll talk again. Although the trend is so much better, the organization is trending so much better. It just is. And this is part of why we all love this. Thanks for the call, though. This is it's the rough times that makes this all, in a weird way, fun. Losing to the Cardinals, you hate it. I get it. I do, too. But in a weird-ass way, this is part of the ride. This is part of the fun. There's going to be some frustrations. I'm ready to lose my mind. I am. And you guys calling for a rant, I'll tell you, the clock is ticking on that. Because you cannot continually put yourself in a deficit every single game almost. And by deficit, I don't mean just runs on the board that you're giving up. But you're also impacting the rest of the game, the rest of the roster, the rest. I'm talking about pitching. The rest of the series. You're affecting, when you give up 37, when you throw 37 pitches and they score a run or two on you, you've affected the game, your performance, the bullpen, and the rest of the series. And it's a habit they got to stop. They got to stop it right now. It's just disgusting. It's Cal Eldred's disease. That's what it is. Dude was good, but my goodness, it was 3-0 after a half inning every damn night at County Stadium under Cal Eldred. Yeah, see, it all flies around. Furniture is starting to move around the living room at your house. I get it. You get frustrated, and I'm with you. But I will say this, that this is, in a weird way, part of it, and sports is supposed to be a positive influence on our lives. Sometimes I wonder. Some of my blood pressure wouldn't say that. Marshall, you're next on the Fan. 414-799-1250. When and will David Stearns make a move here to fix things?
Well, good evening as always, guys. Good talking. Tough loss. Let's just go get him tomorrow and make sure we get out of here 2-2. I think we're going to do it tomorrow. As far as a move, I think sometime between just after the 4th of July and mid-July, that's kind of where I'm at. It's going to have to be made. I think, you know, we see the deficiencies. As good as this team is, they need some upgrades. And based on the last couple of years, I think I said this last week to you guys, I think he's going to do it, and I think we're going to get some people we really like. I mean, you know, I'll just comment, speaking of moves, I was kind of hoping that Willie Adames might get a shot in that. Nothing against Caratini. I was hoping Willie Adames would get a shot in that inning and in the ninth there, but that's the decision the council made. You just have to go with it. It was a good game. It's a good game, as the late, great Dean Smith used to say, folks. It's a good game if you don't care who won, and that's the problem tonight. A lot of us cared who won, and we're just going to – it's been a good series. We have to admit that. Hopefully, we'll win tomorrow. You get the feeling it's going to go this way. As you pointed out, Tim, it's been 2-2, 2-2, and I had a feeling at heart it was going to go this way, guys. We all wanted to win the series, but this is a good baseball team we're playing. They're good. The organization's good. But, hey, we got to step up tomorrow and say we're good, too, here. And I sure as heck don't want to lose three in a row, especially after Burns got us started so well on Monday night. We cannot lose this series. And it's important tomorrow. Let's go get them.
All right, Marshall.
And then hopefully get more.
Yep, you got it. Thanks. This is the third four-game series this season the Brewers and Cardinals have had. Brewers have won games 1 and 4 in each of the first 2 four-game sets. They win game one, lose the middle two. This was part of it. They win tomorrow. They'll win games 1 and 4 of the third consecutive four-game series. Sam, did I miss something? Is Jace Peterson hurt?
I'll have to double-check, but I haven't seen anything yet.
I mean, I'm not saying Jace Peterson is a savior at all. But you've got a couple of right-handers, two of the last 3 days. I don't think he's started against the right-hander. And now we see the reverse splits going for Keston Hira. And Keston Hira has started in place of Jace Peterson. These are just random disconnected observations that I'm throwing at you right now. Let's see. The other question would be, Luis Urias is in the two spot.
Yeah, it's got to stop.
That has to stop now.
And in the top, just in the top five in general. I mean, got to give him the day off tomorrow, and then what? After that, I don't know. In my opinion, you bat him ninth until he gets his head right.
I mean, Sam, they had him batting cleanup less than a week ago.
With Hunter Renfro back from injury, I know it took Renfro a couple games to get back on track, but I'm sorry. There's no excuse for Hunter Renfro not being attached to Rowdy, you know, Tellez's hip in the lineup.
They should be right there. 3-4, 4-5, 2-3,
yeah.
Whatever.
And you put McCutcheon afterwards, I don't care. But Rowdy Tellez and Hunter Renfro have to be, you know, right behind each other in the lineup.
And that's a council thing, guys. It is a council thing. That is what he can control. He can't control what a guy does in the box, but he can control putting him in the box. He always talks about putting people in positions to succeed. And you think he's doing that? At times, I've just shaken my head at this lineup. And then there's Christian Yelich, and we'll talk about him after the break here. It doesn't have to be a slam yelly kind of thing, but he had an opportunity, again, an opportunity to change a game with one swing. I'm still waiting for it. Have I missed it? I don't think I have. I think I follow enough Brewers baseball, a couple of games here and there. I see a few at-bats that Yelich does.
I mean that sack fly against Philadelphia on Sunday Night Baseball feels like a year ago.
It sure does. And where is just a bullet gap or a
scorcher, just 110 off the bat, you know, in the gap for a double.
Or down the line, got around on it and got all barrel.
A triple.
And it just,
when he's not hitting against the Reds for the cycle.
Yeah, and it wasn't a bloop double. It wasn't an infield single. It wasn't a rollover that trickled through the middle. It wasn't a rollover that had enough giddy up on it to just beat the shift. None of those. I want a barreled up baseball that takes the head off the left fielder. That kind of bullet. Where are they? All right, let's get one more in here before the break here. Let's go to Dick. Dick, you're next on the Fan. What's going on?
Well, I got to address the not the last call of the caller before, and that's the guy that kind of gets me crazy in that. You know, all we got to look is at the Bucs. When the Senator owned them, all he wanted to do was make the playoffs. We get new owners in, they're doing it. What bothers me about that, the economic impact for the Brewers for this region has been proven over and over and over.
Huge.
Don't even talk about it. They're not talking about a new stadium. That's another thing. I don't know how these rumors start. What they're talking about is keeping the upgrade going. This ballpark with the roof, it's fine. It needs upgrades, okay? So I'm done with that. I'm the anti-Yelich, I guess. But, you know, how were we hitting in May? I thought we were hitting pretty good in May, weren't we?
It was okay, yeah. And I talked about it on this show. It's in them. It's definitely in them. Yeah,
yeah,
they've had stretches where they've been a good offense, yes.
Yeah. But I think what we need to do, and I suppose every time I call in, I say this, if you're going to play Yelich, bat him ninth. You know? I mean, his speed on the bases, the outfield is fine, but you got to shake up the marbles in his head where maybe he's got to start feeling different. I said this before, you know, the difference between him and Giannis is he grew up in California well-to-do, basically. Giannis didn't. That fire in Giannis is there because he's always worried about a guy coming to the door to take it away. Read the book about him. It's unbelievable. And,
yes.
You know, here's what I think is that none of our everyday players, no one's going to take them and give us anything for them. If we're going to win this thing, it's going to be through pitching. Don't get rid of anybody to try to get one guy in. You know, one more batter isn't going to do it. We got to shake up the lineup, batting order, put Yelich down at ninth. Get everyone. I mean, if the rest of the guys see, holy crap, Yelich is going to ninth, let's kick it up here. That's what I think. I think we're fine. I hate to say it, but I think status quo isn't the worst thing to do, especially when our pitching comes back. We got two starters that aren't playing, two guys that were up for the Cy Young Award. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
And if you trade away the thing that makes us better than other teams, that's not. Don't trade any of our pitchers. None of them. That's what I think.
And if you do make a move, I think it's going to be with prospects. I do. And I'm with you on the stadium thing. Thanks for the call, Dick. I really am. The stadium will be 30 years old in, 7 years or so, 7 or 8 years. And they're just entertaining the idea of how to come up with the revenue to do the upgrades, just because it needs it. I mean, you average 27,000 to 30,000 a night, 80 dates a summer. It's going to have some wear and tear in there. It just is. There's going to be new technology that can be implemented. There's going to be all sorts of things. So, do they re-implement the 5-county tax? Do they have a surplus? The park district. They're working that all out now. There's been no decisions. They're looking into all of this to see. There's not any jeopardy of the team leaving. That's for sure. They're just nowhere near that. All right, 414-799-1250. Now I'm going to disagree with you, Dick, on the batting ninth thing for Yelly. I would say more so batting fifth or sixth. Put him behind Kutch and Renfro and some of these, and Tellez and some of these guys. Let him work his way back up. But where is the bullet double off the barrel? And just there's Yelich. And just that sweet-looking swing of his. Instead, a holding pattern of a batting average between 230 and 243 for quite some time now. At least he's leveled off a little bit. We're not dipping down toward the Mendoza line anymore. 414-799-1250, Brewers fall. Game 3 of this 4-game set. They need to win tomorrow to split the series. More after this. Gene Wagner Plumbing post-game show. There's Sam Schmitz, Tim Allen here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on 1250 AM The Fan.
5-4 final, Brewers fall in game 3 of this 4-game set. Welcome back in. We'll get to your calls in just a second. Okay, those of you listening to the show many years, you know that analytics and all the metrics that are out there for you to just kind of, the saber metrics out there for you, they're helpful tools. And I understand that, and I've been warming to those over the years. I really have. OPS is a pretty important stat. You know, it says a lot. Slugging percentage, exit velo and things like that. That's all, whatever. Launch angle and these types of things. War. I think war is just blown completely out of the water. I think that's a stupid stat.
Oh, you're telling me you don't like whiff rate, the chase rate, though? You know, weighted runs above average, all that stuff, Tim.
Correct. Correct. Some of them I do, Sam. Right. Some I do, no, honestly. But I'm right there's others with, that I can just flush.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I'm still a batting average guy. Like, I'm finally getting used to seeing OPS in the scoreboard whenever I go to a game, but I still don't like it. Like, the scoreboard is so big. Can we not have, like, a batting average / OPS on there? Like, why does it have to be OPS?
So, this is why I always... And I don't think this will ever change, at least for me, from where I sit and how I follow and analyze baseball. It starts with your batting average. It just does. Guys, it does. On-base percentage is pretty important because you avoid outs. And that is pretty important. I've really warmed to on-base percentage. That's for sure. But my goodness, You got to have a batting average. It tells the story of a hitter. It does. It tells the story that you get hits. You get your hits. I'll give you an example. A lot of people complaining about the Brewers' offense in this series alone with runners in scoring position. How they got there, well, we could determine that in some other conversation. But once they're there, this is where I default to the batting average. In this series, game one, Brewers were 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position. Game two, yesterday, Brewers were 0 for 7 with runners in scoring position. Game three, tonight, 1 for 6 with runners in scoring position. That's 1 for 20. Look at the batting. That's why every, I would say, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, just about every 6 weeks for the last 17 years, I say, let's do a little pulse check on batting averages. And I just go down the roster. And sometimes it's rather pathetic. Why? Because I elevate my opinion of a batting average for those reasons right there. And then, you know, you compare it to the other team's lineup. And that's when it really gets kind of ugly. You got to have a batting average. It means you're hitting the baseball. It means you're hitting your way on. I appreciate a whip with a pitcher. That's the amount of traffic that's on the base pass per inning. How many base runners does he allow between walks and hits? Errors discounted. They don't count errors in there. So that's not your fault as a pitcher. Walks and hits per inning. And by the way, incidentally, the whip for Jason Alexander, tomorrow's starter, 1.7. He's almost allowing two base runners every inning. But anyway, batting average is where this thing starts. All right. Also, the sea of red that was in American Family Field, did the Brewers change their colors at all? This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Every series, every time St. Louis is in town. Real quick then, Tim, though, before we get to our callers here, talking about batting average, just did some quick math and looked at today's box score. Rowdy Tellez obviously has the highest batting average in the Brewers right now with .253. Just in the St. Louis Cardinals starting lineup, not the guys who pinch hit, the starting lineup for the Cardinals tonight. You want to guess how many of their batters have less than .253 for an average?
Yeah, maybe two.
Two. Dylan Carlson and Andrew Kisner.
I did see that. I saw that the other day in looking at this series. That batting averages, you got to look at that. And whenever you get in a conversation, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to say in a baseball debate, but yeah, I will. I guess I will. When you get into a baseball debate and somebody tells you that baseball is more than just a batting average offensively, you tell them to just shut it. It starts with a batting average. A good hitter starts with a decent hitter starts with a batting average. It does. All of them do. Go ask Lorenzo Cain what happened. 179 happened. That's why he's not in a Brewers uniform tonight. Okay, the sea of red in American Family Field. For a midweek series on top of it. Sam, you were there, what, yesterday?
Yeah, unfortunately, braving the 100-degree weather, just melting the entire game and then watching the Brewers lose on top of it. We stayed the entire game last night, and during the eighth and ninth inning, pretty much all the Brewers fans left. And I look over to the left side. I'm sitting three rows behind the Brewers dugout, along with Tim Stadium Shea. And we look over and we hear the Cardinals fans chanting. And I see literally no Brewers fans on that left side. And I feel like I'm at Busch Stadium all of a sudden. And it takes everything in my body not to just like retaliate and, you know, show some frustration with that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to start beating them. They won't come here.
Right.
That's a deal. That's how you've kept some Cub fans from coming up here and just own them. Let's go to Mike. Mike, I guess you were at the game tonight. What's going on?
Yeah, how you doing, Tim?
More important, how you are.
I could be better. It was a good game though. I was a couple rows behind the Cardinals dugout, and I'm telling you, it was me, my dad, and there was maybe like four or five other Brewers fans in the whole section. It really felt. And they were nice though. I mean, the guys next to us were pretty nice Cardinals fans, but it just, I'm like, man, why did I not get tickets in the first base side instead of the third base side? But anyways, So I guess my first question is, why was Willy Adames not playing today? In his last five games, he has 3 home runs. So instead of playing him at second in the order, you're playing Luis Urias, who's been an absolute train wreck since he's come back from the disabled list. And he struck out in a key situation after Yelich hit that double. It was second and third with 2 outs, and it would have been Adames up in that situation instead of Urias.
I'm going to guess just a rest day.
We had Dominic Catrone on earlier this afternoon. He did say this was Willy Adames' first day off since he came back from the IL.
Mm-hmm. But regardless, you're playing the Cardinals. It's a big series. Why can't you wait until they're playing the Blue Jays this weekend?
I completely agree. I totally agree with you. I agree with you, and this was the Braun scheduled day off kind of deal. That's what this was. It's a scheduled day off, and I don't appreciate it. I don't like it, and here's why. The most simplistic way to get to the postseason is to win this division. It's a 2-game swing tonight. That's what it is.
Yeah.
This is, you don't have to mess around with expanded playoffs. You don't have to look over in the West. You don't have to look to the East. You don't have to look at the scoreboard to find out, you know, some Diamondback San Francisco Giants to affect the Brewers getting into the playoffs. All you have to do is make sure you do better than the St. Louis Cardinals. And to sit Willy Adames, not a good thought. Sit him on Friday against the Blue Jays. Fine.
Yeah, completely agree. That could have won them the game, though, right? I mean, if Adames comes up in that
situation. In a one-run game, one swing, give Willie 4 cracks at this dude.
They had him on the ropes, too. If they get a single there, I think they win that ball game in that situation because then they're up 3 runs. But anyways, I think they will make a move in the next couple weeks here. I think Stearns has shown he's not afraid to pull the trigger. He has the couple-year timeline here. And I really think they need a third baseman. They need a center fielder. Like I said, Luis Urias, I don't know if you can count on him. He's been horrible since he's come from the disabled list, so I think you need a third baseman. And then Tyrone Taylor, I mean, other than that 2-week stretch, he's kind of shown us what he is.
Yep.
You know, he has 266 on base. He's shown us why he's a career minor leaguer. So I think they need to get that done. I've come around on this that I don't think anybody is untouchable in their minor league system. I think Ethan Small is probably their best trade chip because he is the closest to the big leagues that I think he could step in for a team and start pitching right away. We've seen it in the past, Tim. You know, Trent Grisham, Lewis Brinson, Eason Diaz, Keston Hira, Corey Ray. All those guys were supposed to be really good prospects and good major league players. And what have any of those guys amounted to?
You just never know. Lucas Urseg, you could throw him in there too.
Right, exactly. So you don't, you know, they could have good numbers in the minor leagues, but you don't really know what those guys are going
to be. Go back to Clint Coulter, for crying out loud. I mean,
all the way back, yeah. That's
Victor Roach.
2011, yeah.
Vic Roach, yeah. Yeah, I mean, position players, they've been lacking, that's for sure. Mike, I got to scoot. I want to get Phil in here. Phil wants to talk about the renovations at American Family Field. Phil, thanks for calling.
Yeah, Tim, thanks. First time, long time, and appreciate you as the voice of the 2022 championship season.
I know you're
a hardworking guy, voice of the people, and I appreciate all you do for our community here. I really just want to encourage you whenever we're talking about stadium renovations, etc., to move away from language that talks about taxing the community and more towards what can the owner do to pay for the renovations.
Gotcha. It's a good point. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we've paid a lot. Well, I don't live in one of the 5 counties, so, I mean, I guess I didn't personally, but other people did. There's a lot of money. This is a big debate in all of sports, really. And I think you do have to measure the economic influx into the community. It does help a lot of people. It does.
It absolutely does. Absolutely. I recently moved real close to the stadium, and it's been wild to watch, you know, what a game day does to the neighborhood and things like that. And I think that's all well and good, but I think if we're letting, you know, 100 millionaires who won't spend money for a bat in the middle of the season off the hook on stadium renovations, we're doing a disservice to the community.
You know what? I'll give that some thought and take some notes on that, Phil. It's a good point. All right. Thanks a lot, dude. I look at it selfishly. The fact that I love having a team that I can go. Do you not put a price on going to the ballpark with your family? You know what I mean? Do you not do that? Because to me, that's worth money. To me, that's worth it. Well, I can't remember the figure, and I'm going to have to go look at this. Sam, do you remember the figure of what it cost each taxpayer individually that lived in the five-county region?
I can try to find it.
It was like a couple $100, maybe. If even that, I don't even think it was that. I can't remember what it was, honestly. So, but I look at it as it being worth it to me. Now, would I like to have owners of, even in football, they want the area to do their share, and I understand that, because you do get something out of it, not just the fact that you can take your kid to the ball game, but there is economic advantages to having a beautiful complex in a major league or professional franchise. I mean, it does have an impact. The impact is pretty prevalent here. All right, Sam, I'm sorry. Let's get a couple more in here before council.
Yeah, let's go to Brian and Valders.
Yeah,
Brian, you're on the postgame show.
What do you say, Brian?
Well, Tim, I was at the game tonight, and I just want to hit on a few things here. I think it was about three or four callers ago, and he was talking about him being a bandwagon fan, about the franchise, and just, I tell you, Tim, you know, it's callers like that that really – I wasn't planning on calling after the game tonight just because we were just late night, get back and everything. But he really got me to the point where, you know what, it's people like that I don't want to listen to, Tim. I mean, my goodness, come on. I mean, have some common sense when you're calling in. I mean, we are so lucky to have a baseball team in this town. I mean, look at what's going on in Milwaukee with the crime and the stuff going on. And here we're worrying about whether or not we have a, you know what I mean? It just really upset me, you know? And we're one game out of first place. We're to the playoffs four consecutive years. Yeah, we didn't win a World Series, but there's a lot of other teams that don't want a World Series either.
And we didn't lose the World Series tonight.
Well, exactly. You know, and then my other point, Tim, you know, I just want to hit on that. I'm so glad you brought up the thing about batting average. I'm probably about the same age as you are, Tim, and OPS never was an issue back in the 1980s and 70s and all that, you know. But now it's all OPS. And I'm still one of these old-school guys that basically, if you have a .280 average, you know, let's have a .280 average or a .300 hitter. And, well, I don't know if I'll ever see a .300 hitter. And I think part of the problem is it's because the pitching has gotten so much better back, for, you know, since those days. But I'll tell you, you know, Willie Adames, Arias, you know, our left side of that infield. I mean, Willie's batting .210. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know that he was going to be any savior right now. He's got to pick it up from the standpoint. Yeah, he can hit home runs, but I want to see more than just home runs. I want to see he getting a hit. You know what I mean? Someone, other caller said Arias is struggling. He is. You know, and there's other ones too. I mean. You know, Yelich at the top of the order, I will say, you know, his on base, you know, he's not barreling the ball up like we'd like to see him and hit for power like we'd like to see. But he's getting hits, you know, he's getting hits.
Yeah.
But, is he worth the $28, $30 million that what we're paying him? You know, I guess someone can argue that point, yes. But I think you leave him at the leadoff position and you go with him. He's getting on base. You know, I don't know if I want to see Colton Wong at the top anymore. When Colton comes back, I think you put Colton Wong in the ninth spot, you know, because
and they've had him in the ninth spot this year. He was batting ninth a few times, yeah.
Right, and I don't see Colton Wong coming back and being on this team next year, and probably Urias, if he can figure it out, he probably can move to second base. But like a couple of your other callers said, we need a third baseman. We need a third baseman, a bopper over there. That's the reason the Cardinals are so good. You look at Goldschmidt and Arenado, and most. There are two big boppers that are hitting it.
One came from the Diamondbacks and the other came from the Rockies.
Right. And that's what we're lacking. And And, yeah, Rowdy's a good player at first, you know, but, you know, I mean, you know, but we need a third baseman and we need a center fielder. I like Tanner Taylor too, but he's not a starter. He's the fourth outfielder.
Yeah, that's, Ryan, that center field spot, boy, between Kane and Taylor. Ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough, tough hole out there to fill. And I think that is where they're going to look. Brian, I got to scoot, but thanks for the call. I understand what you're saying, the call. I can't remember his name. But again, I will just say this, that I don't screen my calls, and I've always been proud of that too many radio shows steer their content to some agenda, and I got to let everybody on. And you're not going to agree with everybody that calls here. And that's, I think, what makes this all fun for me and for you guys. I mean, I just don't know. I don't look at a screen here to say, Mike wants to talk about this. And then you do all the prep work in the meantime, and you drop four different windows on your computer, and then you get all the stuff. It's all predetermined. I don't do it that way. I've never done it that way. This is not the way this show goes. Ron, you're next here on The Fan. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, Tim. You know, I have wondered over the years, is it a lack of talent or is it the hitting coaches? And then I tend to, like, minimize the hitting coaches. But when Orlando Arcia left, I'm like, I'm curious to see what happens with him. Well, he's hitting .329 now. And our highest guy is, like, that is with significant at-bats is hitting .258. And, like, the thing that people say about it is, oh, well, with the pitching, it's too good. Nobody hits .300 anymore. But we seem to play a lot of teams that where they're, you know, guys are hitting .270 and even way over .300.
Sam brought it up earlier. Sam brought it up 20 minutes ago. Of the eight position players in the starting lineup, it would be nine in the hitting lineup. Seven of them are hitting better than the top batting average in the Brewers lineup.
Right, and same thing with Gene Segura when he left. And now I'm curious to see if we end up cutting Kessin Herr and he leaves, he ends up being a .280 hitter. I mean, I don't know what it is, but maybe, like, you know, you've talked about many times, maybe it's the, you know, just our philosophy of strike out, walk, pop out, and then they go to these other teams. And you know, also, and then when we're playing these other guys, like the Cardinals and everything, they're single, you know, double, and then they get, like, six out of their eight guys get a hit in a row, and then they beat us by four runs.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating.
It is frustrating. I understand it. All right, Ron, thanks for the call. It certainly is frustrating. So where does it come from? At some point, it goes to the player, too. We can blame the scouting department. We can blame Stearns for just low batting averages. If we're just talking about hitting the baseball, getting base hits to get on base, we can point fingers at a lot of different places. But it does come down to the player, too. They know. I mean, this three true outcome thing in baseball, it's a thing. There's no question. As much as I dislike it, I hate that form of baseball. I don't know of too many fans that like that form of baseball, to be quite honest.
No, I don't. I'm a young guy, and I hate it.
If
I could watch a bunch of Tony Gwynn's, you know, get up to the plate, and Ted Williams and all that, give me that, as opposed to home run or nothing. It's so, because if you do that, you're locked in every at-bat. But if it's this, you know, home run or nothing outcome, it's unwatchable sometimes. It's just strikeout, ground out, strikeout.
Homer.
Right. So, I don't know, man. And the whole hitting coach thing, like, that used to be an option for me when I would complain about the batting and all that. But, I mean, you look at this lineup and this roster, the hitting especially, you swap out Jackie Bradley Jr. and Avi Garcia, you bring in McCutchen and Renfro, it's essentially the same guys that you had last year.
Yeah,
and
it
it's
is.
The same outcome for hitting. So how much of it – I'm not pointing any fingers at the hitting coaches. Maybe they're not helping, but I agree with you, Tim. Like, it's on the players right now.
It is on the players right now. And Sam and I were talking during the game about Matt Carpenter that flamed out in St. Louis. They had to cut him loose, and then he went to Texas and reinvented himself. He did that.
Yeah, and if you guys have a chance after the show, I mean, it's probably on YouTube. MLB Network cuts a lot of their segments into clips now. Mark DeRosa did a really good breakdown on why Matt Carpenter has been so successful when he came back with the Yankees. But here's the thing about Matt Carpenter. He went out of his own way to try to get as much help as he could with his swing. So it's on the players to, you know, yeah, the coaching helps and all that, but it's on the players. Matt Carpenter talked to Joey Votto. He talked to at least 3 to 4 different hitting coaches in the offseason. So he went out of his way to try and get help. Like, it's on these players too. They got to be in the batting cages at all times and just try. They have to be their own initiate.
Yeah, it's wild that, you know, just like every other occupation, some people like to dig in and they're really into their jobs, and other people just are good at it, and that's gonna carry them, so they don't feel like they have to. But I think to a degree, they all work hard to get where they're at. Professional athletes, you know, there's some sweat. Labor going on for sure.
A lot of them can get comfortable though, Tim. A lot of them can get comfortable,
and they have. And I'm not saying these guys have, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
results aren't there. They're just not there, and we see it in the series. And sometimes, occasionally, I get it. You're going to go into a little bit of a funk, whether it's a team or an individual. And can we chalk this runners in scoring position thing up to one of those where it's just, hey, it's circumstance. You just ran into some tough guys. Some guys were ailing or some guys were in a funk or whatever. I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to weed out the reasoning behind what's going on. You tell me what happened to Yelich. I don't think anyone knows.
I mean, it's painful when you got Jack Flaherty on the ropes yesterday, who's clearly struggling and needed more rehab assignments. You got 2 runs off him in the first inning, but then after that, he gave up a career-high 5 walks. He didn't get anything else after that 2-run home run.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. You got these guys on. It's almost like I told you this, Sam. It's almost like these guys are this badge of honor is this walk. And yeah, I get it. It's moving the line. It's keeping the line moving. But at some point, you're going to have to get some knocks here.
Yeah.
To get some runs. I appreciate a walk and a hit by pitch. And now you got 2 on and 1 out, and then, you know, you're fighting, and it's 2-2 count, and then you strike out. Now there's 2-on-2 out, and now you get back up there. Well, you're deep count at bat, heavy counts, and it's 2-2. You work it full, and you foul off a couple, and then you work a walk. Now base is loaded and 2 out. And now you get up there, and you're down 0-1, and you're like, you got to come through with a hit here. Oh, you fouled one off. You're down 0-2, and 2 pitches later, you strike out. Yeah, you got traffic. But nobody got a hit to get a run.
I mean, I don't know, Tim. Guys who are up there looking for a walk just means you have no confidence in your swing, in my opinion. That's what I used to do when I was in Little League. If I couldn't hit, I was looking for a walk. And yeah. I don't know. I think that probably translates to the majors. I mean, Luis Urias especially, like, how many times has...
He's going to be good, though.
He is. He's in a cold spell right now. There's no doubt about it. But how many? He's gotten some tough 3-strike calls, but how many times has he struck out looking, especially?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Swing the bat. Get on base via the hit for
attack.
A while.
Early in the count, attack.
And you saw it tonight. All right, let's get to Craig Counsell as the Brewers fall in game 3 of this 4-game set, 5-4 the final. We'll hear from Counts on Bally Sports Wisconsin here on The Fan.
I mean, I think it's, you know, in this outing, you know, the pitch to Goldschmidt, not a bad pitch. Really good hitter. The pitch to Arenado, probably a little bit more of a miss. And it's, you know, it's obviously something Eric's, you know, the way his style pitching with throwing the ball up in the zone. It's part of it. You know, the navigating the lineup and who beats you and stuff, that's, you know, that's what beat us today. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, yeah, it comes down to making pitches, right?
Oh, it seems like a lot of the damage is coming sort of later and during the stretch for him. Is there anything you're saying, like, second, third time through? That's, or is it just that you said that?
Well, there's a first inning homer today. I think, you know, the last inning for a starter is always a vulnerable inning. You know, that's normal.
Oh, your offense, Craig. Is their bullpen just this tough?
Well, we did a nice job against Adam Wainwright, and you know, against the bullpen again today. You know, I think it's, I'd say both. You know, we obviously didn't matter who's in the game. You know, we got 13 outs against them. you know, we need to be able to put a run on the board. At the same time, they're throwing the ball well. But you know, when you get a starter out before the fifth innings ends, you know, you're hoping, you know, with enough cracks against the bullpen, you can put something together.
But this is, I mean, is this one of the better pens when you sort of look at things on paper that you face?
It's a good bullpen, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the three guys that, you know, they have at the back and that they kind of relied, you know, that have pitched six innings the last 2 days of, you know, are doing a nice job and are tough.
Is it harder, Craig, when they're going multiple innings as well, if you're not seeing as many arms?
I don't know if that makes a difference. You know, I mean, that's how they're using their guys. I don't think that makes a difference.
What about what you got from Trevor Kelly tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he came in a really tough spot. And just to put up a zero that inning was, you know, keeps us in the game. Then he puts up another zero in a tough inning for him, really, too. So it just, you know, great job. I mean, he gave us a chance in the ninth to put something together.
And also, Craig, Colby Milner with another spot outing as well.
Yeah, I mean, Hobie's been on a pretty good run. Trevor got him out of a jam tonight, but Hobie's doing a nice job.
You got home runs from McCutchen and.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. What play got you the most excited from today's game? Did it get you up off the couch? It's time for the Call of the Game, presented by the 5 o'clock Steakhouse. 5 o'clock Steakhouse. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse by the Food Network. Visit them and make online reservations at 5oclocksteakhouse.com.
5-4 final, Brewers fall, and they win tomorrow, and it's an even Steven, 2-2, and we move on, tied for first. I mean, that's just the way it goes, and I know it hurts a little bit. Brewers do have some, that's the thing. They're good anyway. Despite what we've been talking about, despite putting yourself in a hole on a regular or at least a relative consistent basis on the mound, you're spotting these guys a couple of runs. You're spotting these guys to get the upper hand in a game. And even if you put up a zero, and it comes out that you've thrown 24 pitches, or in Hauser's case, 37 the other day, or even Burns, his pitch count was up in the first inning the other night. I mean, that's just, you know, despite all that, and despite the batting averages, you're still a good baseball team. They are. Make no mistake about it. We're splitting hairs at a higher level in Brewerville these days than the last several years. We want them to win every night. I get it. No team's going to do that. Well, unless you're the Yankees. But no team's going to do that. And in this case, they're a good baseball team despite those bruises on them. And we'll see how they improve throughout the season, number one, but in terms of acquisitions. Call of the game with 5 o'clock Steakhouse. I'm not sure we can put this into a comp would be NBA's clutch time, but I don't think we can put the Christian Yelich fifth inning double into that category by comparison, but it was probably as close to it as we've gotten in the last, I don't know, maybe this year. Honestly, do we have a clutch hit from Yelich this year, Sam, that you're aware of?
The only thing I can think of, and you can tell me whether or not, because it was somewhat late in the game, but the only thing I can come close to as far as a clutch hit for Yelich is that sack fly Sunday Night Baseball against the Phillies, because it was a 1-0 game.
Yeah, getting the ball in play in that situation,
but
yeah.
That's the only example I have for you.
So as close as he can get is tying the game up in the fifth inning on June 22nd against the Cardinals.
Yay!
I know that. We have to play that as our call of the game. Check it out.
In the air to left. That's hit well. Back on it. Back. Yepes. Yes, fighting with it. And he can't make the play. Make the play. And it takes a big bounce. Taylor winds it up. Bader's throw comes in. Cut off. Tie game. Yeah. A wild run.
Gosh, these fans, you fans, us fans, man, just give us those sorts of things. You hear the crowd there? I mean, we're waiting to go crazy. Tonight would have been one hell of a walk-off victory. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
But if only we had Ryan Braun against the St. Louis Cardinals.
True. True. He'd have taken care of that. Yeah. Call of the game with 5 o'clock Steakhouse, as heard with Brian Anderson on Bally Sports Wisconsin. We're going to hear from Eric Lauer coming up. That's a little bit of a bummer in my world for Eric Lauer to have things shake out the way they did tonight, because I've been predicting that he's on his way to an all-star game, and his last three starts, he's taken a hit or two. And I don't know if there's still some time. And they're still, they're going to need a bunch of pitchers, as always, named to the All-Star team. But he's going to have a couple of really stellar outings. But we're going to hear from Eric Lauer coming up after the break here. Brewers fall 5-4. They have a chance to even up the series. So all is not horrible in Brewer land. Gene Wagner Plumbing post-game show right here on The Fan.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show on 1250 AM, The Fan. Time to head into the clubhouse and hear from the pros.
Final couple of minutes here after the Brewers fall to the St. Louis Cardinals. I hate saying that. 5-4 the final. Gene Wagner Plumbing Postgame Show. After this and every ball game, we talk some Brewers baseball and everything in and around Brewers baseball. A lot of fun. You can join us, and we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll check the matchups in just a bit. But finally, to button up tonight, we go to the starter, Eric Lauer. He had this to say after his performance.
Look at lineups across the game and look at kind of 1-2 punches. Mm-hmm. Where is this 1-2 punch, Goldschmidt and Arenado?
It's definitely up there. Both really good hitters. They're having great years. It's definitely up there with anybody you want.
Was the Goldschmidt home run a pitch where you wanted it?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it was a good pitch. It was right where I wanted it. It didn't seem like he really got it. I think it was like 96. I didn't feel like it was a bad pitch by any means. A good hitter got to a good pitch. And it didn't help that there was a little broken bat single right before it. I mean, that's just baseball kicking me in the teeth a little bit. The one that I was mad about was the Nolan one, because that was just a bad pitch. I mean, that was really, throughout the night, the only problem that I had with my outing was how poor of a pitch that was to a good hitter.
Is it frustrating at all to feel like, outside of the homer, you're probably pretty happy with how you're pitching, but then it's just like those couple of mistakes,
yeah,
and that's kind
it
of
just
you?
Seems to be, for me right now, just like 1-3 pitches a game that are really sticking it to me, and I feel like I'm pitching much better than what my outings are showing. And it's one of those things that baseball at duty, it'll kick you in the teeth, it'll beat you down, make sure you keep working. But I'm gonna keep throwing, I'm gonna keep working, I'm gonna keep trying different things, and hopefully the results come along with it, because I don't feel like I'm in a bad spot throwing wise.
What was the difference then, Eric? I mean, in between, you know, after the Goldschmidt homer, I think you retired 9 or 10 in a row before you ran into trouble there again. I mean, was it just location for you?
I mean, overall, I was really happy with how I threw the ball. I think that one to Nolan, I was a little upset about the bat before, probably, and I just made a bad pitch. I really did. That's all I can say is I was trying to bury it a little more than I did and kind of hung up there, and he's a good hitters are going to take advantage of that, and it's really the one strike that I'm going to keep me up at night tonight about. It's like just that one pitch like just changed everything on my stat line, and just throughout the game it was the game.
Sounds like a time, Eric, where like this game is mental. We hear all the time guys say this game is so much mental. Is that is that what the stretch is for you right now, all about just keeping the mind right?
Yeah, just trying not to get too down on myself, think I need to change too much, because I mean the work that we put in is I feel like I'm in a good position. I feel like I'm throwing the ball well, things are coming out right. For the most part, I feel like I have hitters in a confused state when I'm pitching to them. But there's just every now and then, like, it just seems like one or two pitches a game a guy will get to, and it'll really just change my entire outing. So figuring out what it is that I need to do to stop that is the next step.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. Time to turn the page and take a look at the crew's next game.
Well, these one-run games, you just heard from Eric Lauer there. Sometimes that's all it is one lousy pitch, and it costs you the game. Now, on the other hand, you know, how many times have we seen it? I don't want to really rock on the offense too much, but how many times have we seen, you know, a mistake pitch by the opposition, and guys like Keston Hira, or it's up and down the lineup on a fairly consistent basis. Yelly and Renfro, and even McCutchen, he's had several of those recently. Even that they just fouled off, or they swing and a miss at a dead red right center cut fastball. So it does. One-run games are really, really it's a really the best part of baseball, that one of the better parts of baseball that I like is one-run games, because it is such a situational thing, and they do make the difference. A lineup will make the difference. A sit, a rest day, maybe you're bumped and bruised up a little bit. These one-run games, man, they're just cool. They really are. You know, a three-run game, you're still in the game. A two-run game, you're still in the game. But you're not one swing from making a difference most times. But Lauer, what's his ERA now, Sam, just to finish this up? Wow.
Eric Lauer's ERA is now up to 3.89.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that's – and again, you know, a lot of years, you guys know this as Brewer fans, where we came from, that would be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, his ERA's at 3.8. That's pretty good.
Brewer's ace. In the mid-2000s, yeah. Man.
No question. All right, got to turn the page. It's game four, this four-game set. This is the third four-game set that the Cardinals and Brewers have had against each other this year. Brewers have won games 1 and 4 in the first two four-game sets to earn the split. They won game 1 in this four-game set, lost the middle two, and now, hey, would that assure you of a victory tomorrow? I think so. I mean, let's just go with it. Jason Alexander on the hill. Let's check the matchups for game four. 1:10 first pitch. After the last pitch, you make the switch right here. Gene Wagner Plumbing Post Game Show, Sam.
All right. As you mentioned, Jason Alexander going for the Brewers tomorrow, and Dakota Hudson going for the St. Louis Cardinals. Jason Alexander 1-0 on the year, 2.42 ERA. His last outing, Tim, he gave up. Oh. I lost it. Nope. There we
Not
go. Five and two-thirds of an innings against the Reds, 8 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned, and 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Dakota Hudson, his last outing against the Milwaukee Brewers, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 0 earned runs, 4 walks, and 3 strikeouts. So if you're a betting man, Tim, would you say tomorrow is Jason Alexander the savior of the Milwaukee Brewers, or Jason Alexander's reckoning against these St. Louis Cardinals?
He was the stopper of the 8-game losing streak.
He was, but he's down to come back down to earth at some point.
Yeah, he is.
These runs are bound to cash in against him at some point.
All these base runners, I mean, I don't want to think negative, but
it's hard not to.
It is. It's law of averages. Something's going to happen, but hopefully not tomorrow. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening tonight. We appreciate that. Tomorrow afternoon, hopefully talking about a Brewers victory to even up the series, kissing the sister, and everything's good. 2-2, and everyone moves on. For Sam Schmitz, my name is Tim Allen. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow, and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.